Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had a tremendous week. We have been burning the NAACP cars left and right. Burn, baby, burn. Yes, it. Burn, baby, burn. Burn your membership card. Right now, I have in my hand 59 NAACP membership cards that will be burnt at 5:30. We now have a total of over 3,000 people who have burnt the NAACP card. I sent out a press release recently. I'm going to read it so people can understand exactly where we're going. The NAACP facing sharp membership decline due to the corruption and reverse racism. Since September 2012, approximately 3,000 NAACP members have set the torch to a membership card because there is a sense that the national leadership is corrupt, cowardly, and has deviated from its original mission of promoting civil rights by supporting corporations that abuse all Americans. The card-burning campaign started by myself, Reverend Edward Pinckney of Benton Harbor, Michigan, has spread it rapidly throughout the nation. Hundreds of formerly loyal NAACP members is disgusted by fraud, the refusal of the organization to combat police brutality, lynching, and systematic structural racism by corporations that pass the national leadership cash underneath the table. Reverend Pinckney and his breakaway supporters estimate that each month nearly 1,000 persons destroyed their membership card and believe that by December 2013, over 15% of the membership of the organization is likely to leave the nation's formerly most respected civil rights group. Among the issues that anger the legion of people leaving is the support for Minnesota, genetically modified food balance initiative in California, the failure to support local chapters in protecting the community from racial attacks, police brutality, mass incarceration, and the widespread rumors of national officials taking cash from companies that practice racial discrimination while taking membership for granted and giving nothing in return. Disgusted Americans of all walks of life are preparing a 10,000-person march against the corrupt and betrayal of American value by the NAACP by protesting the Civil Rights Organization Image Award on February 1, 2013. To many, the Image Award represents the elite and out-of-touch mindset of the organization leadership. The Image Award is a bit notorious for giving honor to artists and performers that often insult the character and history of African-Americans and represent a large waste of money, while local chapters are fleeted for a grudge party for the people who do not serve in the interest of their members. Its impact is nothing less than reverse racism at a time when racism and poverty is growing across America. This is what the NAACP had come to now. Like I said, we have burned over 3,000 cars. I have in my possession a total of 59 cars that will be burned today. So those of you who has your NAACP card ready, at 5:30 today, we will burn, baby, burn. Burn your NAACP card. Now let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day,
hey, sweetie, you get that?
This nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, Even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right now in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain. And the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims cried, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you today, we are going to have a good time as we burn the NAACP card. That's right. We are working on that 350 membership that Whirlpool purchased in order to overthrow this branch. So I will, at 5:30, be burning the NAACP card. We have a total of 59 that will be burned today, and I'm asking 200 people out there to burn your NAACP card. Burn, baby, burn, and do not renew your NAACP card. Do not renew it. Even if you don't, burn it. Do not renew your NAACP membership. Because what are you getting for your $30? Exactly nothing. You get nothing from the NAACP but a headache and a hard time. And what they do, they whine and dine the corporation. But on that note, I want to talk about another subject we're going to be talking about today. I know a lot of people don't believe that they're planting chips inside of people today, trying to control your mind with microwave, radiation, you name it, they're doing it. They're doing it because the people have literally refused to do anything, to stand up for what's right. But I'm going to bring on a lady today, and I'm going to bring on Becky. Debbie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I've been telling folks about this microwave and this radiation that the government is using. But I tell you, you got a story to tell yourself. So let's hear your story.
My story personally?
Or do you have a letter to read? What do you have? What do you want to do?
I had Ken Rhodes would like me to read an article called The Dark Side of Hollywood.
Let's read it.
The following material by Victor Thorne is perhaps unlike anything ever published in the American Free Press. It deals with controversial, even esoteric, seldom discussed aspects of the interplay between the mass media and little-known techniques of mass manipulation of the public consciousness through both physical means as well as more mystical, one might say occult, processes. The topic of historic, age-old intellectual and scientific debate, as well as the focus of rigorous technical inquiry, beginning certainly in the 1950s, in some cases long before, by intelligence agencies of the United States, the Soviet Union, Britain, and Israel, to name a few, the concepts of brainwashing and mind control are very real and not just the stuff of fantasy. The well-known and long-time existence of a variety of what are called cults is down-to-earth proof such things do in fact exist. In recent years, publicity surrounding Hollywood star Tom Cruise and his unusual relationship with the Church of Scientology brought a certain amount of public attention to one very small corner of this unusual realm, but many tend to dismiss the subject matter as some sort of quirky fad deserving relegation to supermarket tabloids. However, there's much more to the story of mind control, and it's been documented in a number of serious scholarly works, not to mention reported upon in lengthy detail in 1975 in the New York Times and the Washington Post. Following the famous congressional inquiry into covert U.S. intelligence activities conducted by the late then-Senator Frank Church, more recently the CIA's mind control devilry has been the topic of a new book entitled A Terrible Mistake, The Murder of Frank Olson and the CIA's Secret Cold War Experiments. The series of articles published in this issue of American Free Press, which is issue number 47, will certainly stir some debate among our readers, just as they did among the American Free Press staff. Some staffers felt the articles were frankly bizarre, somewhat far out, and had little place in the American Free Press. Others were enthusiastic, saying that a lot of the readers will be fascinated, and the American Free Press would like to know what you think and to write to them and let them know.
Hey, that's amazing. Debbie, is that your name, Debbie? Is that correct?
Yes, it is, yes.
Debbie, have any of this happened to you? Have anybody, have they tried to do any mind control on you at all?
I have been a victim of these electronic harassment and domestic terrorism, I call it, and our community is beginning to call it, since 2009 that I know of, although I'm sure it started long before then. It's unreal to me that people don't understand how this is happening. These weapons, radiation guns, high-power lasers, they're in the hands of our law enforcement, military, our government. And for anyone to think that these things, there's not room for abuse of these weapons, it's just ridiculous.
You know what, thing, Debbie, let me say this. After I heard y'all's story and we had that conference call, I decided to go on the Internet and look up some of the stuff that you were saying because, you know, most times people don't believe that something like this can happen. But just by reading and listening to other people talk, I have requests. I put on the Internet for someone to send me some videos. They sent me videos. And I tell you, I am really shocked. But I wouldn't put nothing past our government. I believe they would do anything. And this is where we have to come together. The people have to come together. And I want people out there to know that this stuff is real. and it's alive and it's well. And don't believe, and you don't think for 1 second that it can't happen to you, because that's the thing that's going on. But listen, Debbie, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want. Go right ahead.
Well, they've created a virtual electronic concentration camp for the people, and it's happening basically to everyone, but on different levels. So a lot of people don't know it's happening to them, and those of us who figure it out then become the focus of almost torture, because they want us to keep our mouths shut that it is happening. So if, you know, don't for 1 second think this can't happen to you or is not happening to you or all your listeners, anyone, because please believe us, it is happening, from our smart meters to transmitters put on to read our water meters. It's very small to transmitters put up to use our phones. It's incredible what's going on, and these things need to be exposed. And the people, going to the people is the way to do it.
But let me say this, Debbie. Once I start reading some of this stuff that was coming in, I have to confess, I believe it's happening. Especially with the microwave and the radiation and stuff like that. I know that they can control you that way. But listen,
yes.
On that note, I'm going to bring in Lisa and let her tell us a little bit more about it. And you just hang on and don't go anywhere, because I know you get a little impatient. So just hang in there, okay?
Thank you, sir. Yep.
All right. Lisa,
hello, Dr. Hello, Reverend Pickney. My name's Lisa Becker.
Hi, Lisa Becker. How you doing?
I'm okay. I'd like to just state that the lady you just had on, I can pretty much confirm everything she just said.
Very good. I'm glad that you're able to do that. That's beautiful. But you also have something that you want me to know also. Is that correct?
Yes. I'd like to start out by stating what some of the very symptoms are when people realize or may not realize that they're being targeted. There are some. I've got a list here of about 11 things that they may be impacted by. Do you mind if I read the list?
Go right ahead.
The first thing is an inability to sleep, either to get asleep or to stay asleep. Another thing is a sense of anxiety, ear pain and ear discomfort, headache, confusion, vibrations, a sense of electricity running through the body, extreme fatigue, inexplicable aches and pains, mental confusion, and forgetfulness. Sometimes a racing heartbeat, and quite often we have a number of people who've complained about symptoms of carpal tunnel in their hands. So I would like your listeners to be on the ready and looking out for these symptoms, especially the sleep deprivation.
And Lisa, let me ask you this. They normally don't attack everybody. It's just certain people they attack. Is that correct?
Well, let me tell you this. We know far more people are under attack than they realize. All you have to do is look at how the suicide rate has increased, and also the cancer rate has gone off the chart. It's increased tremendously, and many of us believe it is linked to the use of these frequency weapons and these directed energy weapons and acoustical weapons. We know as far back as 1977, the Defense Department petitioned Congress to allow them to test biological, chemical, and non-lethal weapons on American citizens. We have the documentation, so we know that this is actually going on. My own case started in 2007, the full-blown sense of electronic harassment. Prior to that, it happened during the Bush administration right after 9/11. I began having issues with stalking and telephone harassment, vandalism, things like that. But in 2007, I was awoken during the night with a full-blown sense of electrocution. Now, that's a very overt sense of targeting. However, we believe they are doing this to vast numbers of the population, particularly baby boomers. For some reason, the baby boomers make up the largest number of people of the victims of electronic harassment.
Let me ask you something. Is that the microwave that you're referring to, or just radiation, or what? Tell me about it.
Yeah, microwave is one aspect of it, but there's also acoustical weapons. You have to remember the human body is made up of cells. Every single cell has its own unique frequency. Well, our government has been testing these frequencies for decades. They know precisely what frequency can respond to, say, the liver or to the lungs or to the brain. And they are using these microwaves also as communication devices. We all know how they use euphemisms like enhanced interrogation to mean something far more sinister. Well, electronic surveillance, which George Bush was very proud of, he announced how they were going to implement electronic surveillance over the population. So some of us feel it quite a bit more intensely than others, but many people are getting this. And it also ties in with the HAARP program, which is another Defense Department atrocity up in Alaska. They are literally poking holes in the ionosphere with this HAARP. But it also has the ability to send frequencies and signals out over the population, creating a sense of panic or well-being. It's truly manipulation on a mass scale.
Wow. You know, can you imagine that? If someone listened to that, they'll say, wow, that can't be happening. But I'm telling you today that it is happening every single day. Matter of fact, since I first met this group, I have been getting calls constantly about this situation. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I got to move on now. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you some more time. And next week, I'm pretty sure you might have something more for me, because I don't have a lot of time. We got so many callers coming in, but I must go on. But I want to thank you so much for spreading that so people can understand exactly what is going on, Lisa, because people don't believe stuff like this.
People they don't.
Think that, oh, this cannot happen. But I'm telling you today, I believe every minute of it. I believe this government would do anything.
You're right, sir.
Absolutely, absolutely. But listen, I got to go. I got to move on. But
thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
I really appreciate your fight. I really appreciate you standing up. And I really appreciate you doing what you're doing. So listen.
Thank you.
You hang in, and I might be able to give you a few minutes at the end. So just hang with me.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I got to bring on my good friend. I'm a young man who I just met recently. He wrote a book, Education Will Stop Black-on-Black Crime. I believe that's a tremendous thing. So let's hear what he got to say. Are you there, caller?
Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. Happy Kwanzaa to everybody, and you're listening yourself.
Amen. Well, tell us a little bit about your book. Would you do that?
Yes, I will. Yes. My name is Bomani Crumpton. I'm the author of the book Education Will Stop Black-on-Black Crime. I'm a visionary, optimistic activist, and a consciousness mailman. I've been a mailman for 28 years.
All right.
A little bit about myself. I was founder of the organization People Helping People, where we stop gang war people for a gang war. I was founder of Education Will Stop Black on Black Crime. My book, we wrote our book because we're as furious and intense of black men's killing black men on a daily basis. So we decided to write the book because, we wanted to say what we had to say and let the people know how we think we can stop black and black crime. You know, black on black crime is a psychological warfare. See, we was taught since 1619 that black people was ends, black people was slaves, black people was ugly. Their lips are too big. We have our lips, God made our lips big to make love to our woman. They say our hair is too knotty. God made our hair for a bush, in case anything fall, it was bounced off. They say our nose was too big. We got made our nose big before we could breathe. we are the image of God. So what we do is we are the first people born in earth. We are the image of God. And so when we say black on black crime is psychological, you had the imperial racism, people saying that and pointing out everything dark or everything black is bad and negative, and everything white is pure. Maybe like when the young lady Debbie came on, she mentioned the dark side of Hollywood. See, this is a stereotype that we be going through by white racism. It's not just white people saying that everything dark and point to everything dark and negative. See, we people program to say that. And so when you program to say that, when you say it, it's lower your self-esteem, your motivation, your willpower. It breaks your willpower down to struggle, to move ahead, because white racism bring things at you, day by day, and you only realize why you hate yourself. See, we've been bullied.
Hey, you know what, Omani, that's a real good point. I really like that. Let me ask you this. How did you feel about them calling, saying Black Friday?
Black Friday? Well, Black Friday, that might be one of the positive things that when they mention black. See, when you go on the black, it's on the black side, it's making money. So that way, it's capitalists making money.
Yeah.
But they didn't mean to turn out as being positive, but it is positive as far as businesses making money. So when it's Black Friday, to them, that means it's money. And that's maybe the only thing is positive with society. When it's Black Friday, people look at that is that realizing that black is negative, they look at the negative side point of, people running to the mall, falling on each other, or hurting themselves. Because we used to black as being negative. And so we look at ourselves, we look at our people, we look at our family, we look at our environment. And so we start hating each other because we were taught to hate each other. And we had to stop calling each other like our children. Black nappy here, bring your black nappy here self over here. See, that is scar a child for the rest of their life. You know, and the family, they had to watch how they talk to children. They might say, bring your black in a negative way. We had to stop calling symbolized black as being evil. Because what they have done, racial society, they even put cartoon as a racial cartoon, Casper the Friendly White Ghost. And so when you see black, it is negative, but white, it is pure. And so, we had to sponge in our head that, we're the first people on the planet. God made black people our image. So when they say black people is second, third class citizen, we beg their pardon because we are the image of God. So we can always have a God that have our back.
All right. Hey, I appreciate that. And just you got about 90 seconds. Say whatever you want. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you some more time if you want to come on next week and tell us some more and maybe read something out of your book so people can understand what you're saying. But look, you got 90 seconds. Go right ahead.
Yes, thank you. Yes, you can get my book if you type in my name, Bomani, B-O-M. A-N-I, Crumpton, C-R-U-M-P-T-O-N. So as we continue to support each other, we have to have a positive mind in the house. We can't be drinking in the house, cursing and fussing. And so when our children see us acting like a fool, they grow up in a negative environment because they see that, and it'd be a continual, a rotation atmosphere, a negative atmosphere. So we had to respect and we had to invest in our children's life.
Right on. Hey, you know what? I believe that is a tremendous book. I haven't got a chance to read any of it yet, but I'm looking forward to reading it myself and maybe purchasing one myself.
Text me and I'll send you one.
Okay.
Send me your address. I'll send you one.
All right, let me tell you, my address is 1940 Union,
I'm not have trust now, but later on after you get off
okay,
the air.
Call me later on. We'll talk more.
Okay, thanks.
All right, my brother. Listen, it's time to burn your NAACP membership card. And after we burn our NAACP card, we're going to bring on Ralph Corner from New York City so he can talk a little bit about what's really going on. So you know what time it is. I don't have to tell you. It's burn, baby, burn. Burn, baby, burn. I'm going to be videotaping. Yes, I am. This is an opportunity for us to really show the NAACP to either put up or shut up. We're sick and tired of these organizations coming in and destroying our community using corporate dollars. Enough is enough. Let's listen to a little Tracy Chapman as we burn our NAACP card. Talking about a revolution. I tell you, it feels so good to burn those NAACP cards. I tell you, the 350 cards that Whirlpool purchased to overthrow this branch, I'm going to guarantee you that we're going to burn at least 250 of them. I say that. By January the 15th, Martin Luther King's birthday, we're gonna have at least 250 of those 350 NAACP cards that Whirlpool purchased to overthrow this branch. Yes, that's right. The state sold out to the corporation. But on that note, I want to bring in Ralph Pointer. Ralph Pointer, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney, and I'm listening to this wonderful program. And I just want to talk about the mind control. People are talking about that. Well, mind control can be reduced to one thing, American culture. And so let's go back and look at American culture. We start with miseducation. You have an education system, and the proof of it is during this early 60s, we began to fight for black history. Well, the history was always there. There's no such thing as black history or white history. There was history. And what made it relevant is it was the history that we were not told. That's mind control. Control of information. and the miseducation system continues. Let's go to another part of American culture, the movies. We all know about Step and Fetch It. I need not talk about that. And if you look at the early movies, you would think the only people in existence, and black people in existence, were all Step and Fetch It. What is that? Mind control. Control images, what you think of people. Let us go again. Let us look at the thought of the indigenous people here, the American Indian. We were taught they were the bad guys. What were they doing? Defending their land. We were taught that the Indians were the scalpers. We find out that the British were paying for the scalps of Indians. This is where it came from. And so all of this is mind control. Corporate media. The media tells us one thing. Vietnamese are bad people. What did they do? They defended their land against the imperialist Americans. Americans don't even know that America is an imperialist nation. Corporate media, mind control, food control, genetic engineering, chemicals in our food, cancer, jets flying overhead, dropping fuel before they come into land at an airport. All of this is contaminating the air, the water, the food we eat, as Lynn Stewart said. There's corporations with no concern but their money boxes continue to destroy the very land that God gave us.
Wow, Ralph, that is tremendous. That's some real good history there, Ralph. I tell you, I'm just having a tremendous time today because I tell you, we got a chance to do some incredible things, and we're moving forward. You know,
yes, we are, and you are moving forward, and I was going to say, and I pray that other people, you're able to drag people along with you by bringing these facts. But no, I'm not going to pray. I'm going to work towards helping you drag people along with you to enlightenment. And talk about, you know, like a mind control. Malcolm said it very well. What did he say? They want you to hate somebody? Then we all hate somebody. Corporate media. They want you to love the Russians and hate the Japanese. And we all love the Russians and hate the Japanese. Then they want you to love the Japanese and hate the Russians. And we all do that. They stick a knife in our back and pull it out halfway, and they tell us they're their friends. And we all do that. And now I'm going to get to a major, and this is the proof of it. And this is nothing new. Back in the 60s, a wonderful woman named Queen Mother Moore said, Ralph, if you could get every black family in Harlem to throw their televisions out the window, tomorrow morning they would all have new televisions because the system, the man needs those televisions in people's houses to do what? Control their minds, control their thinking. So this is old hat, and one of the things I talk about, controlled mind, here we are right after Mr. Obama, and I tell people, I didn't vote for Mr. Obama either time. I voted for Cynthia McKinney the first time and Roseanne Barr the second time. And I'm saying, hey, what are we talking about when we see all of these guys with $1,000 suits going around talking about the deficit? And I want this short, I'm going to be brief, in less than a minute. Listen carefully. When Bush came in, President Bush came in to office, President Bush 2, W, came in, deficit was $6 trillion. The Republicans were in control, and what they voted for was a reduction of taxes for the rich. After 8 years, it was $13 trillion deficit. The Republicans did it. Then we get Mr. Obama 1, who comes in and doesn't change the tax structure. He leaves it the same as Mr. Bush. And now we're at $16 or $18 trillion. And now who is complaining about the deficit? The same Republicans who did it. And who is out there cheerleading saying, how dare these people who created the deficit talk about the deficit? And I think if I get a few minutes in another program, I'll talk about that deficit, what it means and what it doesn't mean.
I'll talk
Rap,
about
you know
Obama.
What? You can always get yourself some extra time. Anytime that you're on this show, you definitely can get whatever time you need, because it's truly a pleasure for me to even be communicating with you, because I feel like it's an honor. But look, I want you to stay on. I got Reverend Dr. Short on the line, and he's been really been trying. He wants to meet you, so I'm going to give you a chance to him to meet right here on the line. So hold on right now, and I'm going to bring on Dr. Short. So don't leave me, Ralph. Dr. Short, are you there?
No, I never leave. You got to put me in.
I'm here.
All right.
All right, Dr. Short, are you there? Yes, I'm here. And your dear friend, who I met via the phone, but he had to travel to California to see our dear sister, Lynn Stewart. I came up to Brooklyn.
Texas.
And I met. And, I'm sorry, you went to Texas.
Fort Worth. I'm there right now.
I was with Marzia Hashemi of Press TV. We saw Betty Davis because you had to travel. But I want to say to you, and I didn't say it to Reverend Pinckney, but one of the demands that we must make when we go to the Image Awards is the liberation of all of our political prisoners, and at the very top, Sister Lynn Stewart and Mamia Abul-Jamal. We want
Amen.
All these people out. They're freedom fighters. They're not
Amen.
Criminals. They're not terrorists. And it's mind control that we've had political prisoners in jail longer than Nelson Mandela, who's become a traitor to his people. And these people have been in sometimes almost 50 years in solitary confinement. We must demand
Amen.
Not just the low-level people who had a little bit of marijuana, but also our freedom fighters. We're the only people on the face of the earth who allow our fighters, our heroes, to be castigated as criminals and destroyed. And I want to apologize for not being more proactive, but Reverend Pinckney, we need to make that a demand, because as I was sharing with you during the week, the NAACP is guilty of supporting the Vietnam War and being against Dr. King and all the others. And they've been on the side of the people who have put all of these heroic men and women in jail for decades. We must also expose them for turning their backs on our community when the movement was in its height and they've been silent. If they had used any of their resources to get these people released, none of them would have been in jail. They, whenever you hear of someone like Asada Shakur, who I met in Cuba, these people have been hunted for decades for crimes. They know that they were not committed by these people. This is all known. It is mind control for our population to be criminalized, and our so-called heroes know the facts but have been paid, and gladly so, to be against them. The leadership of the NAACP, going back to the Spingarn brothers, were snitches.
That's tremendous. I'm glad you brought that up.
Ms. Stewart must be let out. She needs to be out. And we need her out, because if you look at what's happened, they're doing everything they can to start a war with Iran. Under the subterfuge of a war with Iran, they will do everything they can to destroy what remains of African Americans. We can't allow another Vietnam in our time. We have to stop this. We have to get her out. We have to stop the Islamophobia. We must do it. Otherwise, as Dr. King said, bombs that blow up somewhere else will explode on us here.
That's right. Absolutely. Good statement. Great statement. Hey, Randy, listen, I want you to hold on. Don't leave me, you and Ralph. I got to bring on my good friend, Belinda Brown. So just don't leave me yet, all right? Just stick with me.
No, we're not going to leave you.
All right. Belinda Brown, are you there?
Yes, Pastor Pinckney. Thank you so much. This is a great show. I am very happy to hear some of the stories, just listening to how serious things are going on across the country. But you know that I'm here in Louisiana, Pastor Pinckney, and this is a systemic problem that we have here, where they have magnified racism to the discrimination against anything that you can think of, job discrimination, housing discrimination. You know, there is a sophisticated form of incarceration here, and we know that the young lady that wrote the book about the new Jim Crow, it is manifested right here in the state of Louisiana to the highest height that you can ever believe. People are suffering under this regime that they have here in Louisiana, and I am appalled about the fact that the world is watching us. How can we sit back and let people suffer, you know, the way that people are suffering here in the criminal justice system? Louisiana have more people incarcerated than anywhere else in the world. This is their whole intent is to line their pockets with money to enslave people here, take their land away from them, destroy their families. I mean, it just goes on and on, Pastor Pinckney. If you listen to some of the horror stories that me and you've been talking about in the case of the Victors, this is a horror story. They took these people's tragedy, the death of their son, which was a tragedy. They took that and imprisoned them and charged them with second-degree murder. It's unbelievable, Pastor Pinckney. It's unbelievable.
But you know what? One of the things that people that need to start understanding that people have to get off their butt and get out here and stand up for rights. Because there's so much is happening today, and it's going to happen. Somebody have to take a bullet every now and then just to show the folks that we're serious about what we're doing. And we got to move on. We got to take this thing to a whole
level. But that's why we're looking forward to you coming back down here to Louisiana to help organize and mobilize the people. You know that the NAACP is a joke, okay? That's the reason why I'm the founder of Louisiana United International, and we've been organizing and mobilizing people for the last 10 months, and we're looking forward to you coming down here to help us, Pastor Pinckney. We need help.
Hey, I'm planning on coming down as soon as I can, you know, and it won't be long, I promise you that. Hey, did you ever get a hold of Reverend Wright?
No, he have not returned my call, so I'm still trying to get in touch with him.
I'll call him myself. I'll make sure that he calls you back, okay?
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate it.
We really need his help, too.
We're praying for him. I know how difficult their situation is. But we have to continue to do what we have to do and stay focused and to do everything within our power to get them off. Because I know
the people down here is hungry, they're desperate, and they are ready to fight. We just need your help, Pastor Pinckney.
Right,
they are ready to fight. The people are, their backs is up against the wall down here. And so many people that are suffering, and they will come out with a powerful fight if we just had your help and help from other people around the country. This state should be the model for the whole world to see what happens when people stand up and fight, because you know these people are real fighters down here. They made it through Katrina, they made it through Rita, they made it through Isaac. All the storms and everything have hit people, you know, and people are still coming up fighting. But this right here is a fight where we're going to need more help, Pastor Pinckney. We're just going to need all the help we can get.
Well, you know, you got me, and you don't hear that. Ask me twice. I tell you, I'm ready to roll. You know, so you don't even have to worry
good,
about it.
Good. Thank you so much. Thank
so
you.
Listen,
this is a great show.
I'm going to let you have the last word, but I'm going to bring on Ms. Johnson now. Ms. Johnson, are you there?
Yes, Pastor Pinckney.
How are you doing today?
I'm blessed. I'm better than blessed. God is blessed all the time.
Hey, yes, he is. It's nothing too hard for God, is it?
No, it isn't, Pastor Pinckney. No, it isn't. I'm just here to let
you
know
this morning
that
I was studying my Sunday school lesson, and I just want to let people know that there is a God, and what we're going to do, we're going to show folks that God is real, because a lot of times these demons out here don't believe it. They'll do anything to people out here. They will attack them with the microwave, radiation, all kind of stuff, and the TV, the newspaper, the media, that's what they use to control us. But listen, Denise Johnson, tell us a little bit about your story.
On November 22nd, my son, Gregory Johnson Jr., was dead in the San Jose State University. He was in the Sigma Chi fraternity house at 284 South 10th Street in San Jose. At 9:30, the Clear Lake police came to my home in Clear Lake and told me that he was dead and that he had committed suicide. I was not allowed to view his body because they said that, the coroner said that his fraternity brothers had viewed and identified his body. I went down there the following Monday. Actually, I went down the next day to collect his things, and you could smell the how they were cleaning the house. You could smell the pine saw. It was so strong in that house, and it stuck out in my mind because I had never smelled that smell before. But they allowed them to clean up the crime scene. That Monday when I went down and talked with the coroner, investigator Petra Albright, she told me that my son leaned into a rope and died. The cause of death was ligature hanging. Well, it took me 13 days to view his body. Now, mind you, she told me that the cause of death was ligature hanging, but there had been no autopsy done yet. The autopsy wasn't completed yet. In fact, the report didn't come out until February 5th. The police came to my house and told me that he had hung himself without a completed autopsy. It took me 13 days to view his body. I had to raise the money to get his body home here in Clear Lake because they didn't want me to see him, the condition of his body. When I got him here in Clear Lake, my husband and I went to the funeral home, Jones Funeral Home, and took pictures. My son had a 6-inch crack in the back of his head. When I moved a box that his head was resting on, because it literally was not connected to his spine, only skin was and muscle was hanging, connecting it to his spine, to his body, because his head was resting on a box. When I removed that, his head fell backwards, and I laid it on the table. And he had brain matter oozing out of this crack on the back of his head. This a suicide. I have been fighting for 4 years, and thanks to Reverend Pinkney and Bancall and the National Network and Action out here, Reverend Wright, which Reverend Pinkney, you put me in contact with, and Robin Yeemans and Laurie in San Jose and Ellen Pascal and so many others that are down in San Jose shaking that bush, as Dr. Kennedy says, shaking the bush until the truth falls out. Because they never told the truth about what happened to my son. This case was investigated by the FBI as a hate crime. The case was investigated by the San Jose PD, and nothing was done. The campus police didn't do an investigation. They didn't even start asking questions until February 2009. So we're out here, we're fighting, Reverend Pinkney. The beat will go on and on and on. I will not rest until they tell me the truth about the murder of my child. This is going on all over the United States. You talk about mind control. Well, when you have a media, mainstream media does not report to you the truth. They only let certain things slip out. And this is happening in Delaware, college universities. Just last week, a young girl was found dead. But that did get into the mainstream media. Miss Benjamin was found dead in a university in the Atlanta area. So
wow. We
want the truth to come out, and we will not rest until the truth is out.
Hey, you know one thing? I got to say this, Ms. Johnson. Tell me, how many did they say that he had a cord wrapped around his neck?
Yes, they said he had a cord wrapped around his neck. Just one fraternity member said 20 times. Brandon said, Cruz said 20 times. They were lying. I don't know. They were just lying. And he had no marks on his neck. Nothing. You could wrap a piece of tablecloth around your neck and it would leave a bruise. He didn't have a bruise. He didn't have anything to indicate that he ever hung. But the autopsy didn't even mention that he had a 6-inch crack in the back of his head. And the coroner claimed that his neck wasn't broken. Well,
wow. You know, it's amazing that 6-inch cut he had on the back of his head. That's something else now. That, you know, you're talking about a whole new ball game there. Because that's a pretty big cut.
Yes. I took pictures of it. I didn't draw those pictures. I mean, we live in an age where the Bible is true, it's manifesting itself. The men would rather believe a lie than the truth.
You absolutely
and
correct.
We have I had pictures of the crack in the back of his head. I didn't make those pictures up. They refused to give me any report, only a pieced-in report.
Wow.
63 pages of a pieced-in report from the campus police who had no expertise in investigating a homicide, a murder. They didn't have that. And they refused to give me any pictures. Told me I had to go to court.
Wow.
Well, why? If my son killed himself, why? Because it was not the truth. They are not telling the truth.
Hey.
And it's been 4 years now.
Wow.
And
no,
I still have no pictures.
You know what? But I'm going to tell you one thing, Ms. Johnson. We're going to keep pecking away until we get some information. And we're going to get you crazy.
Articles
sure.
coming out in the People's Tribune
That's
about
right.
this very case, because this is being hidden.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening in a university. You know, they always want to report quickly when our children fall into trouble and they die in the streets or when it's black on black crime. But
Absolutely.
They don't want to report this.
Absolutely.
They don't want this known that students mm-hmm. are dying and your black students are dying.
Yes, yes.
They're being murdered.
Yeah.
In school.
All right. Hey, listen, that article is going to be out in January, so I expect that you will hit the campus, San Jose State campus, and spread it around there also.
Yes.
Yes, you will.
Yes.
Anyway, Ms. Johnson, could you hold on for a second? I got to bring on Libby Hunter right now. So just hang on in there. You got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want, then I got to bring on Libby. Go ahead.
If you want to see more information or read about this story, go to my website. It's called Strange Fruit at Sigma Chi. Strange, S-T-R-A-N-G-E, Fruit, F-R-U-I-T, at the at sign of A-T Sigma Chi. And we have we're looking for pathologists that are willing to look at his body. His body is buried, and we want his body exhumed. So we need people who will come on board and stand up for the truth, because if this could happen to my child who's in school, it could happen to anybody's child who's in school, no matter what their color is.
That's correct. You are correct.
Yes. Yes,
absolutely.
Sir.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I tell you, well, we're going to do all we can. We're going to be praying with you and make sure things work out for you. And I just want to let you know that we love you, and we're going to continue to fight for you.
Thank you, Reverend Pinkney. I love you, too.
All
God
right.
bless you all.
All right. You know I'm going to be in L.A., though, February the 1st for the Image Award. So if y'all could, you know, get a carload, truckload of folks and come on down, that would be really sweet.
Yes, Reverend Pinkney, I talk with Reverend Harris regularly.
Yes,
and, we're
and I know he's going to come.
Together.
Maybe he want to come, and probably the rest of the group from San Jose, they probably want to come down also. So we're expecting a lot of people. We're talking about thousands and thousands of people who's going to show up, because I got the churches also who want to come. And that way to give you some more support that you need also.
Thank you, Reverend Pinkney.
And also, remember, before I get a chance to speak, I'm also going to mention your son, so that'll help us there also.
Thank you.
All right, God bless you. Now, just hang with us, okay?
God bless you.
Okay. Mary Neal, are you there?
I am, Reverend Pinkney. How are you today?
Great. How about yourself?
I'm praising God. My mother's in the hospital. I want you to pray for her.
Okay.
I want to say that the government, the U.S. government, has been experimenting with mind control. They've been experimenting. And, of course, COINTELPRO is still very active. I got a call yesterday after I got through posting news that they didn't want me to post. Someone didn't want me to post. And I posted news about enforced vaccines. Now, we don't want vaccines. We don't want the flu shot. Many people don't. There's a company out of Ohio that employs 1,080 people, so it's a big company. It's called TriHealth, T-R-I-H-E-A-L-T-H. They actually fired 150 people who refused to take vaccines. They had free flu vaccines, and they fired 150 employees who refused to take the flu vaccine. Now, nowhere in these people's job description does it say that I turn my body over to my employer. They wait until a few weeks before Christmas, and they want to enforce vaccines on their employees. Now, all these rich people who went and invested heavily in that H1N1 vaccine for that disease they cooked up in a laboratory, and they want to give everybody flu vaccines, and you must take it, you just need to count that money as a loss, because everybody is not as stupid as the people at TriHealth who did take the flu vaccine under threat of being terminated. You cannot put the world in a bad situation financially and be it enforced vaccines as a condition for continued employment. I think that all of those employees who didn't want to take the flu vaccine, and even the ones who didn't mind taking it, should have immediately walked off that job and closed TriHealth down, because we do not give our bodies over to our employees when we sign an employment contract. So that is stupid. Do not be so quick to take things because someone threatens your job. I put on my Facebook information about the Tuskegee experiment. The Tuskegee experiment was an experiment done on poor, rural black men in Alabama from 1932 until they say it ended in 1972, where they deliberately, the U.S. Department of Health deliberately infected poor black men in rural Alabama with syphilis virus. And therefore, they took it home, and they gave their wives syphilis, and they gave their children syphilis, and they went blind. Some of them went crazy, and some of them died. And so the U.S. government does not have my vote of confidence when it comes to health care. The United States government does not have my vote of confidence when it comes to health care, and I will not take anybody's flu vaccine, nor would I subject my body to any microchips. Many people who have these microchips, they were inflicted, they were injected with microchips against their will. Some people willingly submit to microchips as a part of their job. They want to go from one area to another secure area in certain secure buildings, and so they say, let's microchip them. I have an article I wrote some years ago about a man who was being sent migraine headaches because of what he had injected in his body by his employer. His employer was inflicting him with migraine headaches from his office while the man was off work. And I want to tell you, Reverend Pinckney, that the gentleman who sued did win his lawsuit, and the judge told his boss to stop sending the man headaches. So if these microchips and these things did not have the capacity to send you headaches and to affect your body, why would the man have won his case? He did win his case, and the judge did tell his boss to stop sending his employee headaches. So these are things people need to consider, because I have a feeling that they're going to start pushing these microchips and start pushing these vaccines more than they did in 2009. In 2009, the state of Massachusetts even went so far as to pass a martial law bill saying that everyone in Massachusetts must take the H1N1 vaccine or go to concentration camps. I tell you, when you start bending over backwards to stay out of concentration camps, they're going to push more and more and more rules on you to stay out of concentration camps. I was on the public transportation coming from the hospital to see my mother. You know, I stopped driving when people started following me in my car every place I went after I sued the Johnny Cochran firm, which is a COINTELPRO operation. After I sued the Cochran firm, I started being stalked and followed every place. So I get on public transportation, and I wonder how well the stalkers will like it, because I never do that without telling everybody about the Johnny Cochran firm fraud and without telling people about this murder that the U.S. government is hiding, the murder of Larry Neal. You can look online for the wrongful death of Larry Neal. They want to secretly arrest and murder mentally ill people like my brother Larry, and we say nothing about it, and they figure we don't care about the mentally ill. But the mentally ill are in prison at the rate of 1.25 million people, and they murder them whenever they feel like it. They murdered my brother and refused to give us any paperwork about it. They refused to give any accountability for that death that happened in government custody, which is against the law. Every death in government custody must be investigated. That's the law they have written down. But the truth is that we have laws on paper that are disregarded if they will help black people. They only use laws in America consistently if it will hurt black people. If there's a chance of you going to jail and enriching the prison profiteers, then the law matters. The law matters if you steal something. The law does not matter if bankers steal something. The law matters if you hurt someone. The law does not matter if they secretly arrest and murder my brother. So this is the hypocrisy of the government, and this is what I exposed. They had a woman to call me right after I posted about the Tuskegee experiments on Facebook. You can look up Mary Love Justice on Facebook, and I posted about the Tuskegee experiments. I want people to be aware of that and remember that before they go running and taking vaccines. Even if someone says they're going to fire you, I want you to ask yourself, why are they so anxious for me to take this vaccine? Well, why do they want me to take it? So I wanted to post that information and remind people of what this government will do to you. And immediately my phone rang, and a woman cursed me out in Chinese. It was probably a recording. She cursed me out in Chinese. I want Cornelpo to know that your agent was very negligent because he let the numbers show that he played the tape from. Now, you probably didn't intend that, but the telephone number showed where the woman called and cursed me out in Chinese, and I posted that on Facebook. And usually when they have the woman call me and curse me out in Chinese, whenever I post something they don't like, they usually use a block so that I can't see the number that she calls from. But I want you to know that our U.S. officials may be concerned when they get cursed out in Chinese, but that does not affect me because I have not borrowed any money from China, and I don't owe China any money, and China has not given me any money. So calling someone and cursing them out in Chinese does not affect them if they don't owe China any money. So, you know, you need to get that straight, COINTELPRO. Yes, we still have a big COINTELPRO problem, even though we supposedly have a black attorney general. As a matter of fact, President Obama more than tripled the rate of money that is spent on what they call citizens police. Those are people who stalk you, follow you, or who send in reports on you. Well, report this. Mary Neal is very upset about you secretly arresting and murdering Larry Neal. I will continue to tell everybody about it, and also I will continue to show these films of people following me, taking over my phone, taking over my computer to hide your murder. You should not be bombing other countries about human rights violations when you secretly arrest and murder mentally ill people right here in the United States of America and will not release paperwork about it and will help the police hide their murders. That is not going together. You cannot police the world when you kill your own citizens by secret arrest and murder. So these are the things that I am sensitive about. I let people know about vaccines. Be careful of them. I'm not saying don't take them. I'm just saying be careful of them. And why would a company be so gung-ho for all of its employees, 1,080 employees, to take a flu shot? Why are they so interested in what their employees do with their health? What is going on? They fired 150 people for not taking the flu shot. I say it's a damn shame that out of 1,080 people, they didn't have but 150 to fire. I say that's a damn shame. They should have had to fire everyone because everybody should have gotten up and walked off their job and shut TriHealth down. I want you to know that place should be shut down today. It should be a ghost town. Do not let people force you into being their slaves. Do not be someone's slave over a few dollars, NAACP. Do not be someone's slave over a few dollars. You know what? You're going to die one day and leave every penny that you amass here on earth. As a matter of fact, they can sign their name tonight and make all the money that you have collected be worthless. Your money can be worthless with one stroke of a pen, and you still got to meet the Father one day. And you have sold your soul for whatever money you've gotten. I want you to know, Reverend Pinkney, I so much appreciate you, and I want you to keep on doing what you're doing. You open up the airlines. You open up the airwaves so that people can voice their opinions and people can voice their grievances. And we have a right in America to voice our grievances to our lawmakers. And I want you to know, lawmakers, that we have grievances, and we are so thankful that Reverend Pinkney opens up his airwaves and let us have a voice. We want to support Reverend Pinkney. Reverend Pinkney needs money for lawyers. He needs money for travel. He needs money for all these things. All of these things take money. Your church, your civic organization should have right now a fund to raise money for Reverend Pinkney. You should have your children going out and selling candy to raise money for the Reverend Pinkney Fund. It's a darn shame that this man, yes, he's sticking his neck out because these are very corrupt and evil people. He's sticking his neck out every Sunday and letting people voice what they need to voice about electronic harassment, about gang stalking, about secret murders like Denise Johnson's son's murder and Larry Neal's secret murder. He's doing this, and I want you to know there are people who are displeased at that. They have already curtailed some of his income by keeping him from being president of the NAACP there in Benton Harbor, Michigan. That's supposed to hurt him. We should have flooded in there like syrup on hotcakes and made up any money that he lost. We need to get our kids out to sell candy. If you're listening and you're a church member, you need to tell your pastor, we need to start a Reverend Pinkney Fund. It's up to us. We need to stop depending on, you know what, part of what happened with the NAACP is our own fault because they shouldn't have had to go to these corporations for their money. All of us have a dollar or two now and then. Imagine if 20 million black people sent a dollar or two to Reverend Pinkney tomorrow. Imagine if all of us had been supporting these organizations that have now gone south. They've now sold out. We need to start supporting people who are supporting us so that they will not be kissing these big corporations' butt. They will not be kissing these politicians' butt. Part of what happened with the NAACP is our own fault. Let's not do it again. Let's start right now today. Before you hang up the phone, make a check and send it to Reverend Pinkney. Thank you very much.
And Mary, thank you so much because you know what? It's time because they're coming from all angles trying to attack me on all levels. But my thing is bring it on because that's what I do. But listen, hold on, Larry. Mary, don't leave me. I'm going to bring on this young lady from Louisiana, 5646. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
How you doing today?
I'm doing good. And you? And I hope everybody out there is doing well.
Well, we're doing great. We're doing about as well as we can, as long as, you know, people keep moving, keep pushing, and doing the things that need to be done so we can protect each other.
That's right. Well, I'm still pressing on here in East Feliciana Parish and trying to expose and bring attention to the corruption that exists in this parish. We had a press conference and a protest. We had a couple of people, mostly family members, to come out on the 26th of this month. But we didn't get any press or anything. The paper came. We didn't get any press, but that was Ron Caesar and Reverend Brown from New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, Brown from New Orleans. Yeah, absolutely, I know him and Ron Caesar.
Yes, and they came and, did the press conference, but like I said, the paper wouldn't print it, but Reverend Brown did do an article, and I mean, you know, he wrote it up and put it on Facebook for us, and we still just trying to bring some things to light in this parish. The systemic racism is just over the top. And what makes it so bad out here, the people just sit by and let these things happen. They want want join forces with the rest of us or anything, and that's what makes it so bad.
Absolutely. You know one thing, you know, people normally don't do anything until something happens to them. then they want you to drop everything you're doing and help them. That's the way it's set up. But, you know, we can't sit back and wait on them because they know what we're going to do. They know exactly what we do. And, they, you know, they use the same program all across this country.
That's right.
And, you know, they believe that people are consistent. And I also believe that, too. You know, a lot of times people just don't want to do nothing until something happened to them or some member of their family who they love.
That's right. And out here, it's really, it's bad all over, just like you're saying. But out here, it is just really unbelievable that how these court officers just ignore the law. I mean, they do exactly what they want, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
They don't acknowledge the Constitution or nothing else. They just do what they want to do. I don't know when the last time I spoke to you, but I thought I sent you a letter, and I kind of like want to document some things in case some occurs with me later on.
I got that letter, absolutely.
Down the line, because what this judge is doing here, now he has it in. Well, he has it in for me, but they went after my son. But now I was ordered to pay restitution for a crime that I absolutely didn't do. And the appeals court didn't agree with me, but they did say that restitution should be based on my income. Well,
mm-hmm.
He wants to go outside the law. Well, I was only, like, getting so much money, like $500 and some a month. I had the restitution at $301. And then when that probation officer retired, then the other one came in and made it even higher. And so that's why when I wrote to you and Ron Caesar to kind of like I said, to make a note in case something else comes of it down the line, because they're
mm-hmm.
really crooked out here. But anyway, sister's letter, then the probation officer is telling me, well, now I need all your bills, and I need to see what's in your bank account, like I got a bank account. And so these are the kinds of tricks that they do out here, and I just don't. I've written to everyone, every government agency that I could think of that's supposed to put this kind of corruption in check. But so far, I haven't been successful. And it seems to me like when I'm just listening to different ones on the show, Denise Johnson and Mary Neal, Belinda Brown and the others that's on your show, it just looked like it's just like a wildfire or something. I just don't know what it's going to come to. Like you were saying, I had to laugh, but it's true. It looked like somebody, you know, going to have to take a bullet or something, because it's just like these people just don't care at all.
No, they don't care. They don't care unless it happens directly to them. That's the only time they care about anything. If it happens to them, then they want you to drop everything you're doing and help them. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes. And that's awful.
And then one of the things about us, too, we run fast when we don't run long.
That's right.
That's another thing. That's another one I picked for.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
and
true.
Also they say we're like quarter horses. We can only run a quarter of a mile.
That's true.
You see, so what we have to do, see, we have to keep running, though. We can't let them stop us.
Right.
They're going to do everything in their power to try to neutralize you.
That's right. That's right. My son is in jail now on a bogus charge since he was 17, because I told you before what the teacher said she saw him indecent and exposed or whatever. But my son was 17, and this was like hearsay, but he was convicted anyway. Was he convicted on circumstantial evidence? And that second teacher that said that about him, she was already convicted of drunk driving prior to testifying against him at trial. And then when we went back for his sentencing, she's back in court again with another drunk driving.
Mm.
And I tell you, just anything to use, any excuse or anybody they can use to get you. This boy didn't have
absolutely.
Nothing in his record. I didn't have anything in mind.
Mm-hmm.
They They convicted him of attempted obscenity, and I got yet to find out what attempted obscenity is. I talked to several lawyers, and they said they've heard of, like, indecent exposure, obscenity, but nothing but attempted obscenity. But anyway, now he had a job. He had went to trade school. He was working and everything. And I knew that they would give him probation. My son got 120 days in jail. And what makes it so bad with that, I know that's minute time compared to somebody got years and years in prison.
That's right.
But I'm not acting like, well, you know, his life is over. But the fact that he cannot go outside, and that kills me, that he's in a cell all day, you know, and I can't, bring a book, a puzzle or anything in there to him, a puzzle book or anything like that in there to him. And, it's just inhumane. And I know, again, that there are some people probably in solitary confinement being in there for years and years, but I'm just talking about the situation altogether with prisons and, you know, and black people. And it's so wrong. It is so wrong.
Yes, it is. Listen, you got about 30 seconds to say whatever you want. Say something.
I got
30 seconds, and then I got to move on. Go ahead.
I'm just honored to be on the show and to share with other people that's on your show. And I think it's a great show. And, I'm just honored to be on the show. And I will continue to call in and just be here and for any support I can give or any support I can get.
Oh, okay. Let me ask a question. How come you didn't go to the NAACP for help?
I went. I was a member of the NAACP.
Just you like were? You.
I was a member of the NAACP, and I made they didn't even acknowledge that they got a complaint from me. And when I did call to Baltimore, the man talked to me so bad until I was just relieved to get off the phone with him.
Are you kidding me?
Are you telling me
that the NAACP disrespected you?
Yes, I was a member. And it's a little branch out here in East Feliciana Parish. That's why I got out of it. And
well, Ms. can you do me one favor?
Yes.
Can you burn your car next Thursday?
Oh, no.
Next Sunday at 5:30.
I burned mine about a year ago.
Okay.
But
okay.
I can react.
Well, if you know anybody who got an NAACP card, tell them to burn it.
Okay, but I can reenact the situation, you know.
Can you do that? Why don't you make one and put NAACP on it and just burn it?
I will.
Burn, baby, burn. Hey,
I will.
But listen, just hang on, and I'll be back with you shortly.
Okay.
God bless you now.
Thank you.
Roz, are you there?
Yes.
Roz, you got about 3 minutes to say whatever you want. Say something.
Okay. I love everybody. I'm praying for everybody, and I'm so dismayed, and it's just terrible what they're doing. There's no justice in America anymore. There's no laws. The corruption is rampant. But we have the Lord, and He is with us. And I just received my decision from the appeals court. They held it for 4 months. They never signed it. They denied it.
Is that right? Did they give a reason?
No reason. They didn't even sign it, the three judges.
Are you telling me that even though that you was tell us a little bit about what happened to you.
Okay. December 8th of 2000, my students sprayed me in my face with the toxic chemicals from a fire extinguisher. In 2002, the school district admitted that I had an act of violence, which is very hard to get, which means physical injuries. In June of 2000, Charles Smith was sprayed to another teacher. Okay, so all these years, I've had a workers' comp case. The doctors, Dr. Stahlberg in 2005, said I was 100% disabled. In 2008, they gave him papers from the school before, which were supposed to be destroyed because I won the grievance. He took those papers, he changed all the facts, he wrote a report, and they lowered my rating and my money and all my medical doctors that I was to see. In 2011, he wrote another medical report, and he went with what the judge's medical diagnosis. Judge Gerald Cohen made a medical diagnosis, changed all the facts, changed all the testimony, added his own facts, and said he was confused. Stated that in the report. Well, he made up all his own information. He shouldn't have been confused. So they cut off my money in 2009. I haven't had money to pay my bills. I don't get the proper medical care. I have nodules on my lungs, so it's hard to talk, hard to breathe. I have toxic fibromyalgia, so I'm in pain all the time, hard to walk, talk, swallow, remember, concentrate, focus. I have a wonderful attorney, Clint Fetterson, who has stood up for me. He cannot believe himself with all this injustice. He's shocked. It went to the appeals court. Now it's 12 years later. Charles,
wow.
A wonderful.
Amazing when you think about it.
What?
Wow, yes, as crime rolls on, corruption rolls on.
Right.
But listen, Ross, I tell you one thing. I'm going to be out there in California.
Uh-huh.
You hear me?
Yes.
I'm going to be there February the 1st for the Image Award. I'm hoping that you will come downtown and be with us on that day. How far is L.A. from you?
Well, is the Image Award in Hollywood?
It's on Jefferson Street, 665 West Jefferson.
Well, I'll have to find it, and I will definitely be there because I have been so blessed to be with you. But let me ask everybody out there to please pray that my case is going to the Supreme Court of the state of California, and they need to accept the petition from my lawyer. He has 10 days to write it, so please pray that they accept it.
Hey, you know one thing, Rob? We will be praying for you.
Okay,
right,
and I must
listen,
say that there is a God, because when I sent out my email with
mm-hmm.
somebody up at 12:30 at night when I read my email from my attorney, it was
mm-hmm.
Miriam, who I met on your show.
Amen.
And I spoke
God
to her,
you.
And she had wisdom and knowledge for me, and it was just beautiful. And there is a God, and he's with all of us.
That's right. All right, now, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, love you all.
Love you, too. Grab Point, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney, and I'm thinking of the speakers that came, you know, like after me, and the wonderful things and the information that's getting out to the people about what is happening to us. And I'm down in Fort Worth, Texas, visiting Lynn Stewart in prison, and our discussion this afternoon was how slavery never ended in
that's
many
right.
parts of America. And one of the worst is Louisiana. And if I have a moment, I'd like to relate a story as to when Marcus Garvey.
I give you all the time in the world.
Okay, Marcus Garvey. We all remember the Honorable Marcus Garvey when he had built the great movement that he built on black consciousness. And when he came to Louisiana to speak, and when he got there to Louisiana, the sheriff's department decided that Marcus Garvey was not going to speak. Well, it leaked out that the sheriff's department was not going to allow Marcus Garvey to speak, and they were going to show up in the hall where Marcus Garvey was to speak, and they were to line the walls, all of the sheriffs and the policemen. And when the news got out, the people of Louisiana, the men of Louisiana, had a strategy, and Marcus Garvey showed up, and he went to the podium, and the sheriff went on the stage and said, "Marcus Garvey, you are not going to speak here." 500 men pulled out pistols and held them in the air and shouted, "Speak, Garvey, speak." Shocked the sheriffs and shocked them to death. And did you know, Marcus spoke. And this shows what will happen when people organize and show power and are not misdirected by nonsense. Now, the nonsense I'm talking about is everybody talks about nonviolent resistance. The same people who talk about it for us, on every corner, there's a statue of some general on a horse, and there's a memorial service to some battle. Can't turn on a football game without seeing the army. We, those white powers that are supposed to go around the world killing and murdering for their stuff, but the people, the black people of America, are supposed to be nonviolent, and we bought it. Another mind control. Double standard. And they say, they attribute this to the great Mahatma Gandhi. And they don't bother to tell you the major edict of Gandhi was never cooperate with evil. It was not nonviolence. And on nonviolence, Mahatma Gandhi said to 15 of the 31 members of his nonviolent movement were revolutionaries. They were not afraid of armed struggle. And as a matter of fact, what he said to those who proposed armed struggle, never put down your guns, because if you do, the British will slaughter us all. What I'm trying to do is organize people who cannot and will not pick up a gun never to buy a single pin or piece of cloth from the British. We will break their economy. If you can't fight, fight this way. But you see, the media does not tell us that. They give us a half a story, a part of a story. This is the mind control, where we are miseducated about everything. So remember Marcus Garvey in New Orleans. Remember Gandhi, what he really said, never cooperate with evil. Remember what we speak on in this program, never support those who do not support you. Look realistically that the media doesn't tell you about when they talk about we're going to fall off an economic cliff. I would like to remind those who talk about the economic cliff and the deficit, we never got on the economic cliff. We came from slavery to Jim Crow and the new Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander, who was mentioned earlier in this. Yes, we never got on the economic cliff. We've always been on the bottom of the cliff. We've got to climb up the cliff, and we got to climb up beginning to understand our circumstances and beginning to develop organizations that will help us. And we start by helping those who have shown support for us, and that is you, Reverend Pinckney, for bringing us the opportunity to spread the word. So there is so much out there, and I ask people, Lynn Stewart has gone to the Supremes, and she says it, and she's not talking about Diana Ross. Her case goes to the Supreme Court December 24th, and that's certiorari. That is to get reasons why the Supreme Court should take her case. And I the Supreme Court has to agree to take the case, and the lawyers have to present a paper, 35 pages long, I believe, that says why it is important. And I tell you, Lynn's case involves 4 of the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. It's absolutely all first freedom of speech, freedom to have a lawyer, freedom of privacy. It goes on and on. And this is what Lynn Stewart's case embodies. So look up lynnstewart.org and hear what this wonderful woman has to say and read of her wonderful works, you know, like over her 35 years working with the community, for the community, and by the community. And we must free her, and as a gentleman said before, and all political prisoners,
yes,
because they have done more time than Nelson Mandela right here in this country for us. And we must support those people along with you and everybody else who supports us. And let us, you know, learn about this deficit, who created it. And I keep wondering, why does not Mr. Obama stand up and talk about who created this deficit? What did W. do, Bush, when he decided that the wealthiest 2% should not pay their taxes? This is what created it. There's no fair tax. And why doesn't he talk about that? And the reason is because the corporations that Bush supported are the same corporations that support Obama. They support both sides. So certain issues cannot be raised. They talk about, you know, the welfare state. Nobody gets more welfare than the corporations. The corn lobby just ended after 30 years. were those who produced corn and gave us corn syrup and all of the terrible things that destroyed our bodies was subsidized by the federal government.
Mm.
30 years.
Wow.
And they talk about subsidies for the poor, entitlements. That's not a drop in the basket. And when they tell you that's the biggest issue, that's the biggest lie. Because remember, you paid for your Social Security. You got a Social Security card at 16, and every job you got, money went in. This is capitalism, and the money grew. And now they're saying, well, we have a deficit. Not our fault. We put our money in. It's supposed to grow. Does capitalism work? And
wow.
These are the questions that the media is not going to talk about.
Of course
not. Hear entitlement, entitlement. Wait a minute. When did the corporations pay for their entitlement? They don't. And what happens to the people who are trying to get citizenship, the immigrants by joining the army, et cetera? These are the foot soldiers who go out around the world protecting the corporation's ability to rob the rest of the world. And I want people to, you know, like just an aside, if you want to hear something bad, just look up the history of pineapple in America. What happened there? You think you got it bad in Louisiana? The Hawaiians, they just took their land, slaughtered them, killed them, and, you know, like at a whim. See them on the side of the road, shoot them. This is what they have, the reason why you have pineapple here. Imperialism is rampant.
What they're doing. They ain't shooting them, but they're putting them, they locking them up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
hey, Ralph, you got 30 seconds. Let's have someone want to get in touch with Lynn. Get that information out right fast, because I got to bring up Linda Brown. And we got about seven minutes left, so I want you to go ahead and just say about you only got 30 seconds. So say what you got to say.
Hello?
Look up Lynn Stewart, LynnStewart.org. Thank you.
Hey, way to go, Ralph. Really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Hey, Melinda Brown, are you there?
Yeah, Pastor Pinckney, I'm here.
All right, go right ahead.
Yeah, I thank Ralph for that story on Marcus Garvis. That is awesome. You know, that was really a good story. That we need to hear that because
absolutely.
That's your time.
It's true.
Yeah,
a lot of converts that night.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's really, you know, the lady that called in from Baton Rouge, I want her to, Pastor Pinckney, let her know that I'm here for her. She can call me at 985-503-0626. We want to reach out to her any kind of way we can, maybe perhaps come down there to Baton Rouge and help them protest or whatever it is. Just have her get in contact with me. We really need to connect across the state of Louisiana and build a strong united front to let these people know that we're not going to tolerate this kind of treatment here anymore. We will fight back, and we will stand up and speak out against this kind of injustice. It will not be tolerated anymore.
Hey, you're absolutely correct, Belinda, and that's really what you have to do. You know, it's power in numbers. And one of the things that we have to kind of like get on, see, if a person is not in need right then and there, they're not going to join your organization. They're not going to do nothing. All they want to do when something happens, then they want you to drop everything you're doing and help them. And that's why we're in this predicament we're in today. But Belinda, keep fighting just like I do. I know these folks, and I know how these people act here. They'll kill me before they kill anybody else. But we know, but we got this thing going on, and we're moving on. And I'm trying to utilize all the forces, not only across this country, but also the whole world, internationally, because we also have groups in London, Japan, South America. We got people everywhere who's supporting us, and they're listening to the show as we speak today. So listen, you got about 30 seconds before we go off to Evelyn. You can say whatever you want. Just say something.
Well, Pastor Pinckney, you have inspired me tremendously, and I really appreciate you and thank you for all that you're doing. I'm so glad that we got the revelation that, you know, we have identified people that are for us, and the ones that are not from us, we can let them go, like the NAACP. We can't waste any more time with these kind of organizations that sell us out. and do whatever they want to do and not really stand up and help us. So I thank you for inspiring me and giving me the courage and the inspiration to do what I'm doing, to be the founder and the president of Louisiana United International, to unite people together on a strong united front that we can stand up here in the state of Louisiana and fight against this injustice.
Absolutely, but don't stop there. You know, keep trying to get people to join. You're not going to get everybody, but get as many as you can and keep pushing. And things I would do, I'll go after all them NAACP members. I'll get them to stand up because I know they should be tired of sitting around doing nothing.
Right. That's what they should be, tired of it, because it's absolutely nothing that they're doing.
Absolutely.
You know, this has been going on for so long here in Louisiana. It's a shame. It's a crying shame that people have not stood up and fought against this kind of injustice when people's lives are being destroyed, families are being destroyed. I have a real sad story, Pastor Pinckney, of a young man that was 17 years old that was told to say he was guilty for something that he did not do. He wound up spending 15 years of his life in prison on a first offense just because he had to plead guilty, because that's what the police officers told him to do, and say that he was guilty to a crime that he didn't know nothing about. These are the kind of stories that destroying people's lives. And now he's out, and he is a schizophrenia. His mind and stuff is half gone. He don't know who he is half the time. It's so sad, Pastor Pinckney, to sit and listen to these kind of stories. And he just broke down and started crying, telling me about how his experience was in prison and not really never having a life. You know, not knowing what it was like to be a child at 17 years old and have the freedom to go to school and do fun things that kids grow up doing. It was so sad, Pastor Pinckney.
Wow. You know what? That's a very interesting story, but it's going on across the country. Until we stand up and take a stand, it's going to continue. It may not change in our generation, but at least we can try.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important to hold the NAACP accountable for their action. I tell you, it's, you know, the response has been so tremendous in reference to the NAACP that I don't even know what to tell you. People from all over the country has been calling and burning their NAACP card, and even the memberships that they Whirlpool went out about 350 membership for these guys, and I'm telling them, they coming in like mad for me to burn their NAACP card. They don't want to have nothing to do with the NAACP. They say the NAACP is a big joke, and I agree with them because they do not do anything. They're nothing but a group of butt kissers, and we don't want them around us. But we'll bring them to the table if they do the right thing. Because sometimes you have to force them to do the right thing. But listen, Belinda, on that note, you got about 30 seconds to say whatever you want, and that is the end of the show. So go right ahead.
Just want to say thank you, Pastor Pinckney. You know, keep fighting. You know, as long as I know I got you in my corner and everybody is listening and they're out there supporting us, we're going to let Louisiana be the model for the whole world to see what happens when people stand up and fight back.
Yeah. You know, we have just ran out of time. But listen, we'll be back next week, same time, same station. Everybody have a very, very good night. Let's listen to a little Harold Melvin in Blue Note.
Thank you.